In the book of the prophet Isaiah, one of the verses that is read in the church in the ordinary form of the liturgy on the third Sunday of Advent is the passage from Isaiah 35, where it says, "Be strong, fear not." And when I read that passage from the prophet Isaiah, it reminded me of the fact that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, one of the most frequent, probably the most frequent command that God gives us is, do not be afraid. And someone said that that command in some way or form is in the Bible about 365 times, which would be one command for each day of the year, God telling us, do not be afraid. And when I hear these words, I'm reminded of the life, the teaching, and the witness of one of the newest saints of our time, Pope John Paul the Great. You know, one of the problems I think that can happen in the church is when someone is canonized and declared a saint, people get all excited and celebrate it and have pictures of the saint or whatever, but then they forget about the life of that saint, the teachings of that saint. And we don't want to do that. When Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger was elected pope in 2005, he referred to Pope John Paul as the great pope. And Pope John Paul truly is John Paul the Great, and the great pope of our times, of our modern times. And he was pope of the church from 1978 to 2005. And his most frequent sort of exhortation to people all across the earth, in all different situations, was that command, do not be afraid. When he first became pope, he had that great message, do not be afraid, open wide the doors to Christ. He alone has the words of life, of eternal life. And if you look at the life of Pope John Paul the Great, this great pope, this saint of our times, he had many experiences in his own life that would have been sources of tremendous fear, things that could have terrified anyone. He had many frightening experiences. When he was a little boy, his mother died when he was about 8 years old. As a young man, the Nazis invaded his country and oppressed it and wiped it off the map and killed and tortured so many people that he knew personally. Karol Wojtyła was his name before he became pope. So many of his friends were hurt, and it was a truly dark time for Poland. And then later on, the communists came in to liberate Poland from the Nazis, but it was pretty much just as bad, and still a reign of terror and violence and injustice and all kinds of oppression. And the life of this Karol Wojtyła was also endangered many times. In the midst of all of these exterior circumstances in his country, he not only had lost his mother, but eventually he lost his father and his brother. And he was all alone in a country that was so dark because of these wars and injustices. And so many things happened to him that would have been sources of fear, that would have led any of us to believe that life is a fearful journey, that we're surrounded and immersed by some of the most horrible things that can make us frightened. And to go on only with fear is the only way that seems logical. But Karol Wojtyła, when he became pope, had emerged from all of that darkness as a witness of hope, as someone who would command us, do not be afraid. Here is someone who had witnessed man's inhumanity to man, and he said, do not be afraid. And he would repeat this message again and again throughout his pontificate. And even in the church, he would endure the failure of many of his brothers who had betrayed Christ and caused all kinds of trouble for the church and for the world. But John Paul still had this message, which he wanted to hammer home throughout his lifetime. Do not be afraid. And the reason for him and for us to be able to go on without fear is God is near us. John Paul the Great had a living relationship with the Most Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That was the source of his happiness, of his joy, of his hope, and of his conviction that it is possible to go through life without fear. And how can we experience this ultimate source of being able to go through life without fear? How can we experience that the Lord is near to us? Because, you know, a lot of people, when they go through things that can bring fear, one of the first things they say is, where is God? God has allowed this to happen, or this thing to go on. Where is He? And they have this sense of fear and darkness throughout their life. How can we have the same experience of the saints, especially of John Paul the Great, in believing and trusting in the command of God, do not be afraid? Well, one of the first ways is devotion to the Eucharist. Because in the Eucharist, we have Jesus Himself. He's really there. And when we come to the Eucharist, we experience personally that Jesus is not someone from the past, but He's our contemporary, that He walks with us on the journey, that He is with us. And the second thing we should practice is daily prayer. When we pray each day, even a little bit, it helps us to come in contact with the living truth that divine providence is at work right now. One of my mentors in the priesthood, Father Jimmy Flanagan, when people would ask him, what's going on? And he would just reply, redemption. And he had this very disciplined life of prayer, and that helped him to realize that that's what's going on, redemption. Christ is drawing people to Himself. Daily prayer helps us to experience that divine providence is working right now. Also, the reading of sacred scripture, even a daily reading of it, perhaps through the Liturgy of the Hours, or maybe through some guided course in the scripture, such as the Great Adventure courses that are offered by Ascension Press through Jeff Cavins, the wonderful courses. And this meditating on scripture helps us to realize that human history is not aimlessly wandering to some disaster, that there is a Lord of history, that things are not governed by circumstances and chance, but by God. And that is true also for our lives, that God is with us, He's guiding us. And lastly, right moral conduct. You know, sometimes people think of the moral teaching of the church to be like a rigid code of conduct that is imposed upon us and it's inflexible. But that's not what it's about. It's about a living relationship with the Lord. Jesus in the Beatitudes, He says things such as, blessed are the pure at heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called children of God. And what Jesus is teaching is that our moral life helps us to develop a spiritual sensitivity to the things of God. Our moral life helps us to be aware that God is with us, He's very close to us, to be aware that we are His children, He is our Father. And this is a cause of joy. Jesus will command us in the Beatitudes, rejoice and be glad. But if we sin, even if we come up with all kinds of excuses to sin, and we live in sin, and we refuse to even repent or to confess our sin or even try to change our lives, then we develop a spiritually hardened heart when we become insensitive to the things of God and we forget all about the will of God and we just want to do the will of ourselves or of others and we don't feel that God is near to us. We experience that we're almost separated from God. Right moral conduct helps us to live this communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to believe and to experience that the Lord is with us. Now, as you might be able to tell, my voice is not working too good, so I'm going to bring this little talk to an end. But do not be afraid. Jesus truly is Emmanuel, God with us. God bless you.